What's up, boys? Tyler from Boston. Bucks win. Feels great to call in again for a win, and even more so for a meaningful win in mid-December. There was, of course, a lot more good and bad in this game, especially in terms of execution, as is in the case with any win. I thought we played great, especially up front on defense, although the secondary kind of got carved up, and the Vikings were able to convert on a lot of third and fourth down situations. But luckily, our defense was really clutch in the end. And, Dalvin Cook, I feel like that was the key to the game is limit him. And he had probably one of the quietest 100-yard with a score games, I think, that we've seen all year from anybody. That's great and fortunate for us to run into a Dan Bailey with the yips. And once again, makes me really appreciate having Ryan Thicke up this year. I know he missed a kick today on an extra point, although I thought maybe it might have been tipped, but I mean, he was able to bounce back, and I mean, he's been nailed all year. So great for kind of a lucky break, perhaps. I also thought McCoy looked great today. When we did run the ball, I thought we did really well, especially Rojo too. So, and then thank goodness, no turnovers. My goodness, thank goodness. So I think the Vikings are the best team out of these last few teams that we had to play all year. And so hopefully we ride this momentum the rest of the way. Finally going to take on the Falcons, though, on Atlanta. Go Bucks.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast, brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Welcome in all new and returning listeners. It is a Victory Monday episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast. And David, we had two teams that, if the playoffs had started this week, were playoff teams, but it was a must win for both sides as the Buccaneers are trying to work their way back up into the 5-seed position, and the Vikings just trying to hold off the Arizona Cardinals and make the playoffs altogether.
Yeah, coming out of their bye week, looking to improve their playoff standings, the 7-5 Tampa Bay Buccaneers welcomed in the 6-6 Minnesota Vikings for week 14. And it was a Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings who started with the ball, trading punts on both their own and the Buccaneers' first possessions of the game in a scoreless first quarter between the two playoff contenders. However, on Minnesota's second drive of the game, which bled into the second quarter, Dalvin Cook carried the ball 8 times for 32 yards and a touchdown, missed tackles by Buccaneers defenders like Carlton Davis III. Anthony Nelson and Patrick O'Connor didn't help Tampa Bay's defensive efforts. Neither did an offsides penalty on a critical third down, which the Vikings then converted on their way to the game's first score. Minnesota kicker Dan Bailey, however, missed the extra point, and the Vikings took just a 6-0 lead early in the second quarter. Following a 3-and-out by Tom Brady in the Buccaneers offense, the Vikings again drove into scoring range, and again, Dan Bailey missed a kick, giving the Bucs another opportunity to take a first half lead, which they did on their third possession. First, Brady found wide receiver Mike Evans for a 20-yard connection near midfield, which was shortly followed by this play.
First snap in Vikings territory for Tampa Bay. Brady all day. Downfield. Touchdown. Scotty Miller.
The 48-yard pass and catch from Brady to Miller, followed by the made Ryan Succop extra point, gave the Buccaneers a 7-6 lead. For the third straight possession, the Vikings would get into scoring range again. However, thanks to gains of 15, 14, and then another 15-yard gain on the first three plays of their next drive. In the end of that possession, though, they would be cursed by another Dan Bailey missed kick, and Tampa Bay was able to retain their lead long enough for Ronald Jones to get his only score of the game, with Troy Aikman and Joe Buck on the call for Fox.
Jones.
Rodgers
with the lead for the touchdown, Tampa Bay.
That score and extra point gave the Buccaneers a 14-6 lead with just 44 seconds remaining in the half. But following a 23-second possession for the Vikings, Tampa Bay got the ball back with 21 seconds left and the ability to stop the clock. Tom Brady orchestrated a series which got his offense to midfield with just 1 second remaining, just enough time to try a half-ending Hail Mary on the pass targeted for tight end Rob Gronkowski. Pass interference was called on Minnesota Vikings linebacker Todd Davis, who was playing in place of injured star Eric Kendricks. The penalty occurred in the end zone, and Ryan Succop drilled an 18-yard field goal to end the half with the Buccaneers up 17-6. Despite a lopsided start to the game, which saw the Vikings possess the ball for just under 14 of the first 16 minutes of play, the Buccaneers went into the locker room with a two-score lead and just 27 yards of offense less than their opponent.
The Buccaneers opened the second half with the football, looking to build on their momentum from the second quarter, and it didn't take long before the Bucs were threatening, thanks to the work of Shady McCoy, who gained a total of 32 yards on four consecutive touches. The Bucs set up first and goal thanks to a great sideline catch by Mike Evans at the six-yard line. After Ronald Jones gained 4 yards on first down, it was the old connection at it again.
Second down and goal, 2.5 yards away. Brayton motion to the left. Offset eye formation and the rolling pass toward the end zone. Caught by Gronkowski. Roll out by Brady. Hits his favorite target. And spiking the ball with the right hand is Gronkowski. Holy Gronkowski. The Bucs get a touchdown. It's 23-6.
That call comes courtesy of Gene Deckerhoff and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers radio network. And it was that score that took the Bucs lead up to 23-6. Ryan Succop would miss the extra point, and the lead would stay right there. The Vikings were not looking to go away quietly. They responded with a 15-play, 8.5-minute drive, fueled by 2 fourth-down conversions and ending with a 14-yard touchdown pass from Kirk Cousins to Irv Smith Jr. The Vikings weren't going to risk another Dan Bailey fiasco, so they went for 2 and converted on a pass to rookie sensation Justin Jefferson, cutting the lead to 23-14. The Buccaneers' offense quickly went 3 and out, and the Vikings were back in business. After getting to first and goal from the 8-yard line, Kirk Cousins was sacked on back-to-back plays, pushing the Vikings back to the 28-yard line, where they were forced to attempt a field goal by Dan Bailey, who missed yet again wide right. The Bucs would then take over at their own 36-yard line. They were able to generate enough offense to move the ball into Minnesota territory, but came up short on a 3rd-and-10 pass to Antonio Brown, which gained just 6 yards. Ryan Succop, however, was able to hit the 48-yard field goal and add a little insurance, taking the Buccaneers' lead to 26-14. Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota offense battled back again, converting a 4th-and-6 and a 4th-and-5 to try and get the Vikings on the scoreboard once again. But following a Pat O'Connor sack on 2nd-and-3, the Vikings ended up facing another 4th down when one of the best in the business did exactly what you expect in a spot like this.
On this drive with 2:14 to go, Vikings failed on 3rd down and 10, converted 4th down. Failed on 3rd down and 4, converted 4th down. Failed on 3rd down and 8, see if they'll fail on 4th down and 18. Empty again for Kirk Cousins. Here comes pressure. We run a stunt. Cousins flushed out of the pocket, throws the ball, and it's fumble. It's a fumble football. Bucs have come up with it at the 44-yard line of the Vikings. I believe it's a fumble. Tampa Bay Buccaneers force the game's first turnover with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left on the 6th quarterback sack of the day.
Jason Pierre-Paul was the man of the hour following that sack and strip and fumble recovery of Kirk Cousins, and it would allow the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to run out the clock and hold on to win 26-14. With this win, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers advanced to 8-5 on the season with 3 games left to play, 1 step closer to postseason football for the first time since 2007. Coming up on the rest of today's episode here on the Locked On Bucs podcast, we are joined by fellow SB Nation writer Bailey Adams as we continue to share our immediate thoughts and reactions stemming from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers' big Week 14 win over the Minnesota Vikings.
Fire the cannon! What's up, fellas? This is Matt from Morven, Georgia. Just watch that hard-fought victory against the Minnesota Vikings. I got to give the Vikings credit. They came out to play today, and in a lot of ways, they played better than the Bucs. But when it mattered, the Buccaneers stood up, and you know, they got the touchdowns they needed and the kicks they needed, and they got these stops they needed on defense. I wouldn't call it a pretty game, but it was, you know, with that first quarter, that was rough. That was really hard to watch. More soft coverage, penalties, and missed tackles that just kept drives alive for the Vikings. And, of course, we keep doing the deep shots on third and short. The Scotty Miller catch, that was amazing. I didn't like the call, but I loved the result. That was pretty awesome. Props to Brady and Scotty on that play. And, you know, Scotty made that play with a dude hanging off his face mask. So, you know, all the credit to him. But I love seeing Carlton Davis come up with that big play and slap the ball away from the Vikings receiver. That was really clutch of him after, you know, kind of struggling early in the game with some penalties and some missed tackles. But, you know, third quarter was another somewhat rough quarter. And, you know, it felt like the tide had turned and the game was slipping away. But in the fourth quarter, you know, we had the back-to-back sacks, you know, and with Winfield coming there with a strip sack, and then I think it was Shaq Barrett on the second one. I don't really remember, but that was awesome, and that turned the tide. Defense stood up, and it was awesome seeing JPP basically close the game out for the defense, and then seeing Ronald Jones close it out for the offense. He ran with some grit, violence today. I like seeing that. Like I said, tough-fought victory, but, hey, we'll take it. Go Bucks.
Back now here for segment two on today's episode of Locked On Bucks podcast. On tomorrow's episode, come on back. James Yarko will continue fielding your thoughts and questions after this game. We've already got a couple of voicemails lined up, and he's going to dive a little deeper into some of the social media chatter and what was said in the press conferences. So make sure you come back for that. Right now, though, let's welcome in our Bucks Nation colleague, Bailey Adams. And Bailey, we hear the voicemail from Matt out there in Georgia. He covered a lot of things in this call, as he usually does, which we love about him. So let's break this down. We're going to start with the beginning. He talks about the first quarter being a rough one with the missed tackles, the untimely penalties, really helping the Vikings gain an advantage early in this game. What were your thoughts coming out of the first 18 minutes of gameplay there with Minnesota up 6-0, having just missed their first field goal of the game?
Yeah, thanks again, guys, for having me on. And really, coming out of those 18 minutes, I wasn't feeling good, although – I will say that when Dan Bailey missed that first field goal, that's kind of when my thoughts kind of just flipped to be like, okay, this could be the momentum switch that the Bucs need. And, you know, they had the sack by Ndamukong Suh on third down to force that field goal attempt, and then he misses the field goal. And I think that next drive, I was kind of just thinking, you know, it just takes one good drive from this offense to put things together, and they got the lead. It'd be 7-6, and I trusted Ryan Succop to do his job. And that's what we got. We got that deep ball from Brady to Scotty Miller. It was a beautiful throw, beautiful catch. And, you know, coming out of that, I thought, you know, this could have been, you know, the momentum switch, the change that the Bucs needed. But honestly, early on, it seemed like more of the same. And it just seemed like another slow start, which this team has gotten way too used to doing. And we saw that against the Chiefs. We've seen that multiple times this season. We saw it against the Packers, even the game that they blew out Green Bay earlier in the season. These slow starts are killing them. And, you know, I think we talked about it a little bit in the Bucs Nation group chat was that, you know, they can't keep doing this. And especially if they get to the playoffs, they're not going to be able to win a game in the playoffs. So they keep doing this kind of stuff. But, you know, I think the defense did a lot of the bend don't break today, it seemed like, and they came up with the big sacks, the big plays when they needed them. And really, I think early on, they kind of just survived that early storm where the offense could not move the ball and the defense couldn't get off the field. And, you know, they came up with a hard-fought win.
Yeah, of course, they were able to come out with that hard-fought victory, as Matt put it, and Bailey, as you just put it. And they did stand up when it counted. When you needed a big play, the guys were there to make a big play. Ronald Jones, a big-time run. Shady McCoy, four consecutive touches on a scoring drive to open the second half. Jason Pierre-Paul with the strip sack to seal the game. So big players came up in big moments for this team. As David said, you know, early last week, they came up with six sacks. Of course, the last one effectively ended the game. He also says this isn't a pretty game. But is it an ugly one? I mean, is there some sort of middle ground here between, you know, a statement win, an ugly win, and what transpired between the Bucs and Vikings on Sunday?
I think there kind of has to be a middle ground, because it wasn't pretty. You can't say it was a pretty win. You can't say it was really that enjoyable of a win, but like you said, it wasn't an ugly win. I think they, for the most part, were able to come up with their big plays when they needed them. And then, the defense, while they did, they got driven on quite a bit in this game, they gave up 14 points. And I know, a lot of that was a result of Dan Bailey missing some kicks, and that's a little bit of fortune on their side for Tampa Bay. And I mean, they were kind of due some considering the past issues with the kicking game in Tampa. But yeah, I think this is some sort of middle ground, because it wasn't the ugliest game they've played. I think it was more enjoyable than the ugly win against the Giants, maybe. And then there's other games, of course. I think the Packers game, the Raiders game, perhaps were more statement wins. But yeah, I think you're right to kind of place this one in a little bit of a midway point.
Yeah, and finally, Bailey, I mean, obviously there's positives coming out of this, like Tyler mentioned in the opening voicemail. Usually more positives coming out of a win than negatives, but there are some negatives. Matt mentioned some of the not so good, and he's not alone in mentioning these either. The fact the Buccaneers have the soft coverage, like we talked about, maybe not the best play selection on some third and shorts, which, is a little bit is more preference based than anything. And then Matt points to the third quarter as a little bit of a rough stanza as well, which I don't think I agree with specifically. But then we see Carlton Davis fighting through to break up that big pass to Justin Jefferson, which I don't think would have converted that situation, but definitely would have put them in a position to convert for another set of downs. Ronald Jones getting the ball consistently, even though all the other running backs were healthy. This is the first time that that's happened in 2020. So there's some improvement for most of us anyway, from where we see it. So where's your mind at now with this Buccaneers team following this game as it pertains to the overall scheme and the football method they seem to be applying with three games left?
I think oddly enough, it's kind of in the same spot it was prior to this game. I was hoping to see a little bit more coming out of the bye week. And I think Tony Gonzalez was talking about it on the post game on Fox, that he was kind of hoping to see a little bit more cohesiveness, a little bit more out of the Bucs coming out of their bye week. And yeah, I just thought this was, it was a tough Vikings team. The Vikings played, pretty well considering, how they started the season there. They've done well to get themselves in the position they're in, but I don't think my mind is really, set on where the Bucs are right now. I don't really know. There's still a lot to improve on. There's still, some good things happening, but kind of what I was kind of stuck on for the last hour or so, or however long since the game ended, and Bruce Arians had his press conference, he said that they were asked earlier in the week about their identity, and he said that, this was their identity. They can go out and do whatever they want. And I don't know what that was. That's left me even more confused than I was at the end of the game, because I don't think that they want that game to be their identity. I mean, they got outplayed in a lot of areas and really didn't look like they were in control for much of the game. I think they were fortunate for those missed kicks, and they did come up with the big plays when they needed them. But, it was weird to hear Coach Arians say that. And, my mind, personally, I really don't have a firm grasp on where the Bucs are right now. I think, if they can finish strong, win their next three games and go into the playoffs on a four-game winning streak and kind of show a little bit more, not say dominance, but a little bit more cohesiveness, a little bit more of a rhythm on offense, and a little more strength on defense, I think I'll feel a little bit better, going into the playoffs. But right now it's still a little bit of a let me wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I was, I was a little confused by Arians' phrasing in that postgame presser. I mean, this is not a team that went out there and asserted their will on the Minnesota Vikings. They had some great moments, but they definitely were not a dominant team on either side of the ball. This isn't a team that can go out and do whatever they want, but it's nice to get back on the winning track and, show that, this team is not a bunch of frauds, but they still have a little ways to go before, we can talk about them doing whatever they want to do. All right, guys, we got one more segment to come, and in it, we are going to recap our predictions and see where we came out looking smart, where we overreached, and basically we're going to talk about how wrong we were, because that's what happens when we make bold predictions. First, though, we are going to talk about our good friends over at Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser than before. It comes in 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new ones: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and Apple Almond Crisp. Built Bars are great for the health-conscious person. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, and they are great for anyone on the keto diet. As many of you know, I'm a hockey dad. We were on our way to two different games this weekend, about an hour away. My son in the backseat, he's eating a white chocolate cookies and cream Built Bar to get him ready for his game. Those cookies and cream Built Bars, 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you will receive 20% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, guys, moving now into segment 3 here at the Locked On Bucks podcast, Victory Monday. And we're going to get into our prediction recaps, final thoughts for this game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers defeating the Minnesota Vikings by a final score of 26-14. And James, I'll kick it off with our bold predictions. Of course, I went big with the absence of Eric Kendricks roaming around the middle of the field there for the Minnesota Vikings. I predicted that Rob Gronkowski was going to have a career day. I don't remember the receptions. I think it was 12 receptions, 169 yards, 4 touchdowns. He did not end up with that stat line. Instead, Rob Gronkowski coming down 1 catch, 2 yards, and a touchdown. So I was close-ish. But that was my bold prediction. Then my final score prediction, I did pick the Bucks to win. I think it was 29-26, something like that. The Buccaneers win. I was fairly close, but way off on my bold prediction.
Oh, super close on your bold prediction. I don't know what you're talking about. You were every bit as close as me, because my bold prediction was that Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski were going to go over 100 yards receiving each, and Ronald Jones was going to go over 100 yards with a touchdown of his own. Mike Evans, 56 yards. Rob Gronkowski, 2 yards and a touchdown. Ronald Jones did get a little bit closer than the rest of the guys. 80 yards on the ground on 18 carries, and he did get the touchdown. My score prediction was 31-20. So I predicted a margin of victory of 11 points, and the Bucks won by 12. I'll take that as a win. That's Price is Right rules, y'all. Closest without going over.
Bailey, you want to share with the good people what your bold prediction, score prediction was, and how you fared in this week's matchup?
Yeah, so not really too bad of a bold prediction for me, I guess. It was a little bit uneven, I'd say. I think my bold prediction for this game was a huge day from the defense. I believe I predicted 6 sacks, I want to say 3 turnovers, and even a defensive touchdown. So didn't get the 3 turnovers, didn't get the defensive touchdown, but I got the sack number right at least. So I'm feeling pretty good about that one. And score prediction-wise, I do believe I had the Bucks winning this game by around 11.
All right, and then let's get into our best and worst from this game. And guys, let's go with the worst first. I don't know. We're going to go with the worst. My worst is going to be that first quarter, because, I mean, the first quarter really kind of bleeding into that second quarter. The Buccaneers come out of that first quarter only having held the football for a total of 2 minutes and 37 seconds in the first 15 minutes of the game. They get the ball back for their second possession with almost a minute off the clock in second quarter, and they promptly hold the ball for all of 43 seconds with a 3-and-out, where after they had tried a little bit to establish the run, they throw the ball twice, run the ball with Rojo once. So go back completely to that pass heavy mechanism there in the offense, go 3-and-out, put the defense right back on the field after they had just spent 8 minutes and 15 seconds trying to defend this Minnesota Vikings rush offense, which was actually doing business against them, unfortunately. So to me, that's going to be the worst. When you have your defense on the field that long, complimentary football, you have to string together at least a couple first downs, even if you don't score. Let your guys on the sideline get together, have a conversation, try to figure out what's going on before you put them back out on the field.
Real quick, you predicted the Bucks to win 29-27. Bailey, you said 34-23, so you and I tie there. Price is Right rules, closest without going over, 11-point margin of victory. My worst, David, you pointed out that the defense was kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place given how often they were on the field, but it does not excuse them for allowing 4 of 5 fourth downs to be converted by the Minnesota Vikings offense. That is my worst. The defense did enough to get off the field, but given the circumstances, Minnesota had to go for it. You cannot allow 4 fourth down conversions in a game like this one. You have to do a better job of stopping this team. They were getting pressure on Kirk Cousins, but he was making plays. You have to find a way to stop an opposing offense on fourth down and get yourself off the field. I expected better out of this Buccaneers defense, and I didn't get it until the very last fourth down attempt by the Vikings offense, and JPP stepped up in a big way.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a good one. I think I'm going to go along the same lines on the defensive side of the ball. You know, they were out there a lot, but it just seemed weird. They took away, for the most part, they took away Adam Thielen and they took away Justin Jefferson for, you know, to an extent, I think. But they really just could not handle the two tight ends. They couldn't stop Conklin. They couldn't stop Irv Smith Jr. And I think that's become a theme of the Bucs for quite some time now, is that they do struggle with tight ends from time to time. And, you know, the linebackers couldn't quite handle with them, or they butt the safeties up. They couldn't really find an answer. And it seemed like on those conversions, a lot of those conversions anyway, on third and fourth down, it seemed like Kirk Cousins was going to his tight ends. And, you know, to see them, the Bucs continuously fail to stop that was a bit frustrating to see. And I think a game that they could have really, if they really could put the clamps down on those guys, it would have been, you know, just Dalvin Cook, because they did a good job with the two outside receivers. And, you know, and was kind of impressed with that. But on the tight ends front, it was not a good sight.
Hey, Bailey, you know who the worst rated defender or statistically was measured defender when having to line up against a receiving player in the slot is for the Buccaneers?
I don't. Levante David?
Yeah. And you'd imagine those are tight ends, right? Minnesota Viking tight ends, to your credit, Irv Smith and Tyler Conklin. I don't know Conklin. 9 targets, 9 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown. That's a pretty good day. Whereas Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson combined for 12 targets, just 7 catches, and about 78 yards, I think, if I'm doing math quickly.
I would have guessed Devin White.
Yeah, actually, honestly, I would have too, but I think he's covering a lot of guys out of the backfield, so he's not really lining up as a slot defender, if that makes sense.
That makes sense.
So that's probably more what that is. But real quick, guys, let's get through our best, Bailey, James, and then I'll go last.
Yeah, I think my best, I think it's the ability to come up with those big plays. Like we talked about a little bit, they bent a lot in this game, and the Vikings had their way with the Bucs on a lot of points. But the front seven especially was able to come up with those big sacks on key downs, and especially near the end of the game. But even early on, I think there was the one by Ndamukong Suh that forced the first missed field goal by Dan Bailey. And then later in the game, we saw some sacks on back-to-back plays to end a drive. And then we saw the Jason Pierre-Paul one to finish it off. And so in those key moments, the Bucs players stepped up, the front seven, and they really got to Kirk Cousins. And I think if I want to expand it a little bit more outside of just those big plays, it seemed like all day, even when they weren't necessarily getting home, the Bucs did get some good pressure on Kirk Cousins. I thought Ndamukong Suh did a great job today. Shaq Barrett was fantastic. So, you know, overall, I think the front seven had a good day.
David, what did I say on Friday when we gave our game plans and I was talking about the offense?
You said run the ball.
I did. I said that a lot. I literally pounded a table for Ronald Jones. He's my best of the game. 18 carries, 80 yards, 4.5 yards a carry, got a touchdown, had a big run in the fourth quarter as the Buccaneers needed a first down in order to run the clock all the way out. He looked good. He looked really good. And I know people get frustrated with the 2 yards here, 3 yards here, but you know what? All in all, it added up to an 80-yard day for Ronald Jones. And my bonus, LeSean McCoy looked fantastic. Where was that LeSean McCoy earlier in the year? I have to say, the running game looked good for the Buccaneers, and you want to see them control the tempo. You want to see them be able to run the ball against their opponents. And you know, you take a look at some key three and outs by the Buccaneers, it was on drives where they didn't run the ball. You had a drive in the second half where Ali Marpet got called for a false start. So you start at first and 15, don't run the ball at all. Don't get a first down. You know, you punt the ball away. So it was nice to see a recommitment, not just to the run game, but to Ronald Jones himself. So he is my best of the week.
Yeah. Leave it to James to take two bests when I haven't even given one yet. Fortunately for everybody, really LeSean McCoy was not going to be my best anyway.
Okay, yeah,
LeSean McCoy running the ball is about as terrifying as Jameis Winston throwing the ball. Anyway, my best is going to be the return of Scooter, because I've been missing me some Scotty Miller running down the field, making some really tough catches. Like Tom Brady, look, put that ball right in the basket, and it was a beautiful dime pass from Tom Brady to his wide receiver. But Scotty Miller is shorter than I am, going up against defenders with wingspans taller than I am. And he's making those catches. I mean, the defender was hooked on Miller's face mask. As they're going to the ground, Miller is running full speed, looking behind him with a helmet on in the Florida heat, catching the ball, making the Miller name proud. Scotty Miller is my stud of the week. I love it. Love seeing him back there. He is the best deep ball option that this team has, and they need to recognize it. Hopefully they have. He only got two targets, but he brought in the biggest one that they needed and helped this team get the win. And then, guys, we're right into the final thoughts, and we got to be really fast about this. So I'm going to try to wrap mine up super quick. Look, a lot of people are talking about ugly wins and pretty wins. And, James, I'm going to get into this a little bit more on our Wednesday episode when we wrap up all of our thoughts on this, because I got some stuff to dive into. Look, when it comes to getting ready for the playoffs, I want to see a team going through games like this. I want to see a team coming out, struggle a little bit, whether it's because they're struggling on their own. We saw Tom Brady miss some passes early, especially to a couple of wide open targets that could have been a really big plays for them, or whether it's the opponent imposing their will up against you. And listen, when you have to choose between those, you want the team going through the self-struggles rather than the team getting the opponent's will pushed up against them. The Minnesota Vikings didn't come out here and do anything to the Buccaneers that they just couldn't stop, because we saw them come together and eventually stop all of it. What they did is they came out a little sloppy, and it's been recurring, so I get the frustration. But for almost three quarters, probably about two and a half real quarters, the Buccaneers did. They came out here, and the stats will show it, and James will get into that deeper because we don't have a lot of time on Wednesday, but the stats will show it. This team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, really did come out, and for about two and a half quarters, they controlled the game. And I feel like what a lot of people are doing is taking that first quarter and letting those feelings from that first quarter bleed into the rest of the game. I think that's what Bruce Arians is talking about. And I mean, I'll just drop it on this. Your quarterback finished with a 65% completion rate, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and a 120 QBR while splitting just about right down the middle pass rush play calling. That's exactly what everybody's been asking for. And they came out with a double digit win against a playoff competitor. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I think, you know, in the second segment, I talked a little bit about my frustration of just not really knowing what to think of this team right now, even at 8-5. But, you know, kind of liken it to, so I'm a soccer fan, and I hear a lot of times, I didn't really hear about it too much until I became a soccer fan, but I hear a lot of debates about style of play and, you know, whether they win ugly, they play well and win, whatever it is. And I always hear the same kind of thing. Well, this happened, but job done. They won the game, job done. And that's what the Bucs did. You know, they got the job done. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, they're 8-5. They put themselves in a great position for the playoffs, and coming down to the next three games, you know, they've got some winnable games here, and, you know, they could even push themselves up into that fifth spot, which would be, you know, a good place for them heading into the playoffs. Would give them a little bit better of a matchup, I think, taking on the NFC East winner. And yeah, so I mean, as far as I'm concerned, as confusing and as frustrating as this team can be sometimes, they got the job done today, and, you know, they're 8-5, and they're in a great position going forward.
Yeah, look, once you get to the playoffs, you're not going to be able to assert your will on anyone. These playoff teams are in the postseason for a reason, and it's going to be a tough game. It could be an ugly game. All that matters is that you come out of there with a win. It doesn't matter how you do it. It doesn't matter if it's by one or it's by 21. These are going to be tough, gritty, grimy games, and it's the team that comes out on top. That's all that matters. You can call it luck if you want to, with Dan Bailey missing field goals. It was luck that Stephon Diggs beat the New Orleans Saints on a, you know, Hail Mary style play. It's, you see luck every year. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. The Bucs came away with a victory against a playoff caliber team, and that is what matters the most. With that, coming up on tomorrow's episode, I will be flying solo as I do every Tuesday. But of course, you all can help me out by giving us a call at 813-444-5841. Just like Tyler and Matt did, we thank them. And just like Youssef and Steven did, and we will hear from them tomorrow. But make sure that if you have any questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, desires, any such sort, you give us a call and make yourself a part of the show. Check out everything David Bailey and myself are doing over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at DHarrison82, at BaileyJAdams22, at JYarko_Bucks, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding victory Monday. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.